Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay. Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
Oh, hello, chickens. The Puffcast and again, and Toby is
in. I'm preparing my notes.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard, the outrageous Scott Brennan.
Hello.
And the punctual Toby Sullivan, who
in
has.
In Puffcast tonight.
I can't believe you have notes. People listening to this would not believe that you have notes.
No.
This is all prepared. I don't improvise.
Actually, you've got that written at the front top of your page.
This is all prepared. I don't improvise.
Wow, you're creepy, Toby Sullivan.
Thanks, Wiz.
Oh, you've skipped ahead.
Shit.
We're not off to a good start.
You're the most unprofessional bunch of amateurs I've ever worked with.
I don't even know that Wiz is in this episode.
Oh, you've ruined it now.
Whoopsie. You know who might be in this episode, though?
Who might?
Grunty McFuckery.
Oh.
God, don't people hate him?
Oh, God.
I think they're meant to. I think people don't get that it's meant to be a joke about the people who are like that. Yeah, anyway.
He's real.
He's totally real.
He's real.
So real.
Well, he's coming up soon on the Puffcast.
Meats and cheeses, you are rocking my clock, Mary. Puffcast.
Well, we have a very special Dear Talking Puffy. This is one from Cameron in Newcastle, but we've decided to ring him up and harass
what?
Him.
What?
Yes. I know.
Surely there are laws against this sort of thing.
We shouldn't be allowed to have phone numbers.
How old is he? How old? No, he's 21. That's all right. He's 21.
Hello. I'm legit.
Hello, Cameron. Now, what is your issue that you wanted to address with us?
I'm in a relationship, have been for almost 2 years.
Oh, well, thanks for talking to us, Cameron.
and I'm already getting kicked out.
not so much interview, more of speed dating, actually. Yeah.
Like, Scott, I'm already laying down the footwork.
Scott, this isn't a chance for you to pick up.
Sorry.
Cameron has a legitimate issue he wants to address.
Show some sensitivity.
Sorry. It was brought up
by my boyfriend that, well, I should explore more of the gay scene itself.
Right.
Because he has a bit more experience and had a fair few more guys in the double digits. And now I'm only, you know, he's really the only boyfriend I've had.
Right.
He wants me to go and explore.
How old is he? If he doesn't
he's
mind.
He's 24.
Okay. 24. So that's not
a million years.
But he's had a bit of a head start on you. As it were.
Yeah.
Right. He was giving gobbies in
good choice of words.
Yeah, thanks.
Head start.
So he wants you to go out and fuck around a bit more.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
How do you feel about
simple.
That?
Well, I pretty much did that this morning.
Oh, Cameron!
Good girl! Timely. Okay.
Well.
Yeah.
And
my boyfriend got the app Grindr.
Ah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Did he get Grindr for you?
Instead of putting himself on there, he used my Facebook photo and put all my details up.
Did you know he was doing this?
Not at the time.
Oh, my God.
That's
but
not
I
right.
Out.
That's not all right. That's not okay.
Was he just like, get out of bed, love, you got a booking at 10?
That is outrageous.
I've got your roster set up. I was out at the Kent at... And I just got this text message saying, I've done something, don't be angry at me.
Oh, my God.
So I'm thinking, what's happened? And I look behind me and there's someone that I actually used to go out with looking at me very, very seductively. What's going on?
No.
And he goes, I've put up your Grindr photo and someone already knows who you are.
Oh, my God.
And it was an ex.
So you could be...
That was about 2 weeks ago.
So you could be identified from this Grindr, like, as your face and your name and stuff.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, he didn't even... My boyfriend didn't even use my name on Grindr, but the guy straight away chatted to my boyfriend going, Cameron!
Oh, my God.
That is so not all right.
So that's not okay. That's technically identity theft.
So did your boyfriend pretend to be you when he was answering?
Yes, and flirted to be me.
Oh, my God! Cameron!
And he's proud of that.
With an ex.
Oh, my God.
Is your boyfriend like one of these people that really gets off on stories of someone else having sex and really wants you to go out and have sex and come back and tell him so he can sit in the corner and battle?
A little bit, actually, yeah. I'm pretty sure he would end up writing fan fiction soon.
Oh, my God. He's the first vicarious rapist. You know what, Cameron? I don't like him.
Oh, my God. It's
we don't bit, like your boyfriend.
It's a bit full on, isn't it?
That is outrageous.
And so let's get the timeline. So you that was 2 weeks ago, was it?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So then I got Grindr.
Yeah.
And I started having a look. But it was just awkward because it was mostly like 57-year-old guys cracking on the 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it, Cameron. That's what I love about it.
But then occasionally on a Saturday night, it just goes from 20 people to 2,000 people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they're all just like people that are, well, either married or live in a box and don't want to be out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So anyway, at some stage, you pursued this and you hooked up with someone.
Yeah. It was after a big night last night in the town, and sure enough, nothing happened. No one got... Well, I kept getting my ass slapped.
Right. those arseless chaps are a real invitation.
Come to the gateway. You don't grind. You just get smacked really hard on the arse.
Right.
Oh, Lord. And everyone was dressed up as a clown because it was Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Clowns and popcorn and fairy floss.
I am so glad I'm a fat old man that doesn't have to do
that. Oh, my God. That just sounds like the creepiest gay night.
So anyway, I sucked off a clown. And he kept yelling at me because I was kneeling on his shoes.
But you know what's hilarious about that?
I was covered in his makeup.
Oh. What's great about gay night?
That's why everyone was slapping her on the ass. They thought it was a target.
And what's great is that the one fag hag showed up in the one car and everyone just came out. Like
no, she showed up. She kept shouting me drinks. She was trying to get on karaoke, but they were just like, no, we're not having it. We're not having you in here.
Shit,
you've got to pick up the rest
off.
Of the guys.
Wow.
Shit is popping off in Newcastle. Oh, my God. So have you phoned your boyfriend this morning? Have you phoned Steely McRapey? Have you tell him that his cunning plan has worked?
After last night, it just wasn't, nothing was happening. So I went back to his place and he's sitting right next to me now.
Oh, right.
On Grindr. Right. And so we just slept in, just lazed about. And then sure enough, someone popped up on Grindr just down the road. And
off you went.
Off we went. It was quick.
What was Thievy Boyfriend like? Was he like, on your way, I'll pick you up in half an hour?
Yeah. He's a sandwich for the walk home.
He said,
I'll drop you off and I'm going to clean the house and then I'll come back and get you.
Oh my God.
He only got back and then I rang him and was like, all done.
Oh, my God.
It's like when you're a child, like when you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
And you go, Mum, I need to go to the bathroom. And then you come back and your mum's like, better?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. He's like, how do you feel? How do you feel, darling? And I'm like, I don't know. That was really quick.
Oh, my God.
Didn't know what to expect, and that was the first time having Amel, too.
Oh. Okay.
Welcome, Cameron.
Yeah.
So my little boy's growing up.
Welcome to the world of headaches.
Yeah. He kept huffing it.
Was he doing it in the mouth?
Don't do it in the mouth. Adam always does it in the mouth, and I hate it when he does it in the mouth.
I make Toby do it in the mouth because I'm banging for peer pressure.
No! It's horrible. It's like Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet. It's horrible.
Do it in the mouth, Toby.
Do it in the mouth.
Oh, my God. I just love the way that you've mentioned Amel, and we've just become a Ricky Lake audience. Fucking hell.
Cameron 21 doesn't know who Ricky Lake is.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know Ricky Lake.
He's seen Hairspray. So how do you feel about this morning then?
All right with it. But it was just different. I don't know.
It's a different person. It generally is.
But is the weird bit that it was someone else, or is the weird bit that
your boyfriend
was
really
sitting around
that much.
Your boyfriend pinned a condom to your lapel and sent you out the door.
He just kept going to me, yeah, he's cute, he's cute, do it, do it. I'm like, but I'm tired and hungover. No, keep do it, go, do it, do it. I want food and bacon. Just do it, do it, do it.
Reading between the lines here, Cameron, are you a little bit disappointed that he's not a bit jealous, just even a tiny
bit? I'd like a little bit of jealousy.
Yeah.
I'm now getting jealous because he's getting all the cute boys talking to him on Grindr.
Ah, okay. It's a slippery slope.
Well, you know the answer to this. Just post his fucking picture under your login.
Yeah.
Why stop there? Why not call them Crime Stoppers? That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
No, you know it's going to be a fun night when we're both in bed on Grindr next to each other texting.
This is like the most modern episode of Queer as Folk.
Yes, it is.
Crazy.
Let's watch West Wing and just get on Grindr for a bit.
Oh, my God.
Night in.
That is bizarre.
So will you do it again? Will it happen again?
I might, yeah. Mm. I just didn't know how to feel about it like 2 weeks ago. That's why I sent the to you guys.
So what you're saying is check your fucking email more often.
Well, we record these things once every 6 weeks, love. It takes us a while.
You got to get willpower and then...
trying to find Scott is hard.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can't go to circuit every night looking for trade under the door. Scott, are you in there? Scott, are you... we're not recording this week. We can't find Scott.
Scott, you showed up on my Grindr. What the hell? We're 5 metres away.
He's like aliens. He's all around.
Oh, my God.
Did you just walk into that toilet?
He's starting a beat in your house.
That's right, yes. If you hear any power tools somewhere, it's just glory hole. It's okay.
Cameron, thank you so much. Well, we wish you luck.
Thanks for that.
Yes, good luck.
On your journey of self-discovery. I
might send you any bad experiences if they come up.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will.
Keep us updated.
And, you know, by the end of next week, you would have had sex with everyone available in Newcastle. Yeah.
Because everyone looks like they're available here. No one wants to settle down.
Oh, bless. Thank you so much, Cameron from Newcastle.
Thanks, Cameron.
See you guys.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
We talked to him just recently, but we're back again with Justin Hamilton.
We need more hammo.
More hammo.
Do you want more hammo?
Okay, Hamo's broken.
Oh. That's great. That had the ring of Jodie Foster desperate acting about it, didn't it?
Yeah, I'll make a film with Bill Gibson. I'll do it.
There you go. Just put the lotion in the basket and answer our questions.
Now, Justin, what activity brings out your inner butch? When do you man up?
You know, it's two things. One is sport. I find that I get, you know, it makes me actually quite aggressive, you know, because I really enjoy beating people. I enjoy winning.
I think we've got our new bumper for the show, guys.
Yeah, exactly. But I enjoy seeing the despair in someone's eyes. I actually do enjoy that. But the other thing that makes me man up is things like the Bourne trilogy. So I'll be watching that and I think, oh, you know what I need to do? I really need to get on the roids and really pump some iron and just run for a few days and beat the fuck out of someone when I get to the end of it. Or eat a packet of chips. So that's usually what happens.
It's true. Sport is really hard to fake. If you're doing a bit of straight acting, like you can do it up to a point. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, so who's Kat's got up.
Oh yeah.
But you can hear. It's like when a bad actor tries to do an accent. You can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
But then, there's something totally kind of guttural and real about that. Go, come on the pie, go on! Yeah, that screaming dream sport.
I didn't believe you then.
I didn't. Also, come on the pie.
Screaming out, come on the pie, sounds like a serving suggestion. Yeah.
But it's also losing. There's the obvious of, you know, shaking the fist in victory, but also the losing, the despair in losing to someone that you hate. Like I'm a big tennis fan and I love Rafael Nadal.
Rafael Nadal.
Don't get me started.
I fucking hate Novak Djokovic, and he's won just about every game this year, and I feel nothing but a deep sense of despair. And I think I even said to you one day, Adam, that if I heard that his plane exploded with his family in it, I'd have no fucking problems whatsoever. I don't know if that makes me man up or terrorist up. I'm not sure.
Just makes you sound very uncharitable, and that's why I like you.
Yes.
Now, look, there is a dividing line between the homosexuals, and we want to see which kind of homo you would be if you were gay. Mm. Would you prefer funny girl or Yentl?
Are we really dealing with the biggies?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I throw in a third?
Oh, yeah.
Enough is enough.
Enough is... That's just a song. That's just a song. That's not a whole movie.
No, he doesn't understand the rules.
Oh, I understand the rules, but I just wanted to say Enough is Enough is one of the all-time great songs.
You have a weird obsession with Donna Summer, though. Like, you like MacArthur Park and you like a bit of hot stuff.
Yes, I do.
In fact, the other day, Justin said to me in my car, my new car, when I was driving him around, he said, you know, I think Donna Summer was like the Black Bowie.
I can justify it. And let me explain that. Don't leave me hanging on this shit. The way I explained it was that she's got the black funk with the European cool, and I get the impression that, you know, if I ever had an opportunity to make love to her, she'd really stick her finger up my ass and then gasping for air.
Justin, you're really veering towards allegedly heterosexual now.
What?
I don't know.
Trying to fit in.
I don't know how Iman feels about Donna Summer being the Black Bowie. I think she's probably a little bit shitty about that idea.
Wait a minute, this is all coming together now.
Can Iman sing?
But no, look,
you're dodging the question. Pick a side, this is important.
I'll go Yentl.
Oh,
without a doubt, because I think I am at times a small Jewish woman stuck in the body of a small Jewish man who's not Jewish. I'd love to meet Richard Dreyfuss.
And you know, that little hat would cover your bald spot.
Oh. I have a bald spot. I didn't even know.
Oh, no. You need to do the mirror in the mirror trick. No, he doesn't. Leave him alone.
He does. Oh, wait.
God.
I'm just being mean. Now, all right, this is our last question, Justin, and this is the answer for every gay man. Yes! But straight men tend to answer differently. Do you kiss on the first date?
Do I kiss on the first date? Oh, yeah. I'll fuck on the first date. You know,
I'll fuck on the first course.
Yeah. No,
another thing, can I just say again, allegedly heterosexual.
No, I'm a big believer that, you know, if you're going to have something happen, you might as well happen as quickly as possible, so then you can really fast forward the process of that point where, you know, she'll one day look at me, and the things that I've said for a while that she's always found amusing, she won't find amusing again. Because when she gives me that look, I know that I've got roughly 12 to 18 months before she'll break it off. So just fast forward the process. That's what I'm a big believer in.
So you're like, sooner we start, sooner we finish. Let's get the sex out of the way so we can move on to the heavy, long-term emotional blackmail.
Let's get the sex out of the way so we can get right into the craving and then disappointment that I will be, and then, which means then I'll be single and then I can go looking for that first kiss again.
Hakuna Matata, very efficient.
Wow.
Yeah.
Circle of life, yep. Justin. And I love how we ended someone who loves Bowie by quoting Elton John. That should kill him.
Yeah.
I like Elton as well.
Yeah, we all like Elton. He straddles all kinds.
Read on the toilet walls. Mm-hmm.
That's what Renata said anyway.
Renata.
Remember Renata?
Renata got married.
Yeah. Was that in Sydney? Did they get married in Sydney?
Yes, it was.
Because he thought if he got married in Sydney, there'd be no one around to go, oh, yeah, I totally sucked him off last night.
Yeah.
Then he went to the Pride March the next day. Well, thank you so much, Juzzy.
No worries. Thank you.
You can, of course, hear Justin Hamilton. He has his own podcast where he talks to comedians about comedy. It's very, actually, interesting if you're
interested
in comedy. Mm. It's called Can You Take This Photo, Please? And you've got a new podcast, Justin.
Yes, with Peter Hellier, where we talk movies. That's called Hellier and Hammo Dig Flicks. it's literal. It's literal. But we got some interviews coming up with the director of Thumbsucker and Morgan Spurlock.
Great. He ate all that McDonald's, bless him. Oh, thank you so much, Justin Hamilton.
Thank you.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Poofcast. Hello, is that Colin Bertruni?
Is.
Hello.
Hello.
Talking Poofy.
Now we're going to talk about AIDS and whether it's funny.
Well, yes, Colin. The reason I want to talk to you about that is because someone who's involved in the Poofcast, I don't want to name any names, but has a propensity to drop what I'm calling the A-bomb as if it's a punchline. You know, It's oh yeah.
Two aides walk into a bar. Yeah. One says, "Why the long face?"
Right.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, not surprisingly, since I am the manager of the health promotion.
Yes. Well, we thought you'd be the man.
AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. I actually fail to see the humour.
Right,
right.
I actually don't think. I think there are some things that are inherently funny.
Mm.
Like middle-aged gay men dyeing their hair
and getting a piercing.
The enduring appeal of that buck-toothed twerp, Lady Gaga.
Who perfect.
A little bit like a deranged Christian Scientist. I think performance art's very funny.
Yes.
Deliberately or not?
Oh, not deliberately, no. I think video art isn't art, it's just boring. No, but I think there are some things, like, you know, like, well, plastic surgery I think is very funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that someone like Nicole Kidman, who must have a personal fortune of in excess of $100 million, still ends up looking like a duck? But I think AIDS is sort of one of those things like the Holocaust where, you know, I don't think there are a lot of Holocaust jokes that I sort of think are incredibly funny. Some things that where the kind of human dimension of the tragedy is just so kind of like big and awful.
Mm.
That I just, and I think...
Okay, so can you make a cancer joke?
I don't think those things are real funny. I mean, I think that...
Can you make an MS joke?
No.
Can you make an amputation joke? I've got a big list.
Yeah, this is going to go on.
I understand the point you're making, that certain contexts are touchier or more sensitive than others, but I wonder, what is the benchmark? Is it scale or is it lethalness or is it like a social context? What's the do with criteria?
I think it's more to do with misfortune in a way. I just don't think misfortune at that level. Like, that's why I think plastic surgery is funny, because that's nobody's fault except the person.
Yeah, it's self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But plastic surgery is not an illness. We're talking about jokes about illnesses.
Can you make a lupus joke?
Nah.
Well, I don't think lupus is poorly understood.
it's so autoimmune, is it not?
So you're saying that if you can make a joke that educates people about lupus, that's okay?
A big joke that encapsulates lupus as an autoimmune disease, which is generally quite debilitating and gets people to kind of look... They have.
All right, that's the worst punchline I've ever heard, okay?
it's just difficult. There's difficulty built into it. And I actually think, you know, like I haven't heard an AIDS joke, which I think is funny. Well, I mean, having said that, in the current season of Queer as Fuck, we do, well, not altogether poke fun at, but we certainly, this Stephen Hawking is in one scene.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's an illness.
Well, are you saying that you can't make, because obviously it depends on context and the intent of the joke.
Yeah.
Do you believe that you just shouldn't make jokes about AIDS full stop? Or, because I'm thinking about, well, what if you made a joke that made fun of, you know, misconceptions about AIDS, you know, people's reactions to AIDS?
Oh, I think they're fine. And in fact, one of the earliest jokes I heard about AIDS was from Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
The time when AIDS first happened in the United States, of course, there was a big concentration of people with HIV in Haiti.
You're right, yeah.
And Eddie Murphy said, one of the most difficult things about being diagnosed with HIV is convincing your mother that you're Haitian.
It's a very weird joke.
But that was actually a joke about homophobia because,
it wasn't at the expense of someone who has AIDS.
Right.
What?
I don't think anyone would say that you should make a joke at the expense of someone who has AIDS. The victim shouldn't be the joke of it.
No. I mean, let's bear in mind, Poofcasters and people listening.
No one's listening.
No one's listening.
It's just for our
hello, Mum and Dad.
But I am not the arbiter of what's funny.
No.
But it's interesting to get your perspective on it nonetheless.
I mean, that joke about the two aides walk into a bar and all that kind of stuff. I mean, do we have an example of an AIDS joke that we might use as a test case?
Well, I would suggest, you know, if there was a joke, and I haven't constructed it properly, but if there was a joke that somehow implied that we could give Nicole Kidman AIDS, you might find that funny.
Duck AIDS.
Duck face AIDS.
And, of course, there is that little scene in Team America where they do the musical, which is based on Rent, where
yes.
everybody's got AIDS.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought that was quite funny.
That's more funny because it's a satire about a musical that was so inherently about
right.
something.
Yes. But I saw a guy out, I remember before, that movie had come out and I hadn't actually seen it, and I saw someone out at a bar with a T-shirt that said, "Everybody has AIDS." And I was scandalized by it because I just didn't know the context and just, oh my God, that is the most tasteless T-shirt. And then saw the movie and went, oh, okay, now that T-shirt's really hilarious.
Laughed in retrospect.
Yes. But I remember seeing years ago this gay comedian, an HIV-positive comedian, during the kind of, I think it was the early 90s, he was doing a show called Drop Dead Gorgeous. And it was, you know, I've got HIV, I've got AIDS, and I'm dying, blah, blah, blah. And people say to me, oh, you look fantastic, you look really well. And I always say, you should see me in a couple of years, I'll be drop dead gorgeous. Pretty dark. But he had this great joke about, you better laugh at my jokes because I could open a vein and take out the whole front row.
Oh, my God.
What was that woman she just had a documentary made about herself and she's really old. And
oh, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers. That's right. Joan Rivers used to crack a joke after 9/11 saying that a lot of the women whose husbands were killed at the World Trade Center were kind of breathed a sigh of relief. And, gee, they were really happy they didn't come home and all that kind of stuff.
Mm, right.
And I got a lot of flack for that joke because it wasn't politically correct. And I thought, well, no, you probably got a lot of flack for that joke because it actually wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great joke.
As opposed to the one she told about her husband the day after he died, he committed suicide, and she said, I knew I shouldn't have had sex with him without the bag on my head.
Oh. But, I mean, there...
Huh?
That's a joke at her own expense.
Yes, exactly.
But it's interesting that the more public figures appear to be kind of almost caricatures of themselves, it seems that all bets are off. For instance, I think that people were making jokes about the death of Amy Winehouse the day she died.
Yeah. Well, that's because we all knew it was coming and everyone had prepared.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, jokes had been written months before.
Yeah.
So I do think that things like AIDS and Holocaust and misfortune are really off limits. But let's not forget that we're living in a culture where people find it acceptable to go to public spectacles like André Rieu.
Now, that is offensive.
Yeah,
that is offensive.
I would just want to walk out of Rod Laver Arena and shoot myself in the face.
But not to kill yourself, Colin, because suicide is not funny, but that's disfigurement, right. That's okay.
That's hilarious, yes.
So basically, with the whole AIDS thing, because it is a whole group of people, it's kind of a, I guess it'd be like a racism in a way.
Well, also, because it's coupled with, in this country, a particular group of people who have already been marginalised and been the subject of all forms of homophobia, from kind of internalised homophobia to really rampant and quite violent acts of externalised homophobia, sometimes resulting in murder. I just don't see that it's an area that's fraught with humour.
Do you know, if this was a commercial radio station at this point, we would go, right, text us your funniest AIDS joke, Ken Wilson. You could win a can of Coke or a multi-drug can stickers. Of Coke.
Or if we were like an AM radio station, we would now have some very angry listeners going, why are you talking about this?
Yes.
It's Sunday. Jesus is Lord Day.
I don't want to have to explain to my kids
how to get AIDS.
Gay men don't want AIDS. They should stop being gay.
Yes. Yeah, that AIDS is like plastic surgery for gay men. It's self-inflicted.
It is.
They made the choice to fuck the monkey. I say, let them crash. See, who's looking after the monkeys?
See, ignorance about AIDS is hilarious.
It is hilarious. Ignorance is really funny.
Yeah. Oh. Who's looking after the monkeys? We need a telethon for the bloody monkeys.
We need a telethon for the AIDS monkeys.
Yes.
Well, Colin, I think that whole issue is now as clear as mud.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to the aged homosexuals downstairs, I think.
Great. Oh, you're at Circuit. All right.
Thank you so much, Colin Petrucci.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Let's face it. All I know how to do is take off my clothes. Puffcast.
Oh, God. It's time again.
It is. We do this under sufferance every week.
Well,
but
not so much sufferance. He does pay the bills.
Yeah, that's true. He keeps us in hookers and cocaine.
He does. It's time for Gina Reinhart's favourite segment, The Grunt Report, with Grunty McFarkring.
I've learned a new thing this week, boys. Something you should try once in a while. Except by thing, I don't mean technique by which one more scabby cock can be inserted into one of my gaping, slack-muscled orifices. I mean an actual fucking fact. This is the idea of self-harming behaviour. It means that sometimes people do things that they know are fucking bad for them out of some deep-seated compulsive psychological problem. For instance, many people smoke, gamble, or stay in bad relationships. Me, sometimes I read gay street press. They say an infinite number of monkeys on an infinite number of typewriters would one day write Shakespeare. Well, let me tell you, if a finite number of illiterate shitheads cut and pasted a finite number of Towler Road blogs in between cruising for twink bottoms on Manhunt, and then got a 12-year-old mongoloid to sub-edit it, they'd make the fucking gay press. Anyways, seems like every time I open one of these ink-stained load rags, someone's doing a survey about drugs. Who's taking them? How much do they take? Do they take them in a dangerous fashion? Well, listen, Dr. Carr, let me cut a few corners for you and dish out a few answers. One, everyone. Two, heaps. Three, no fucking way. Do people take drugs in a dangerous fashion? I don't know. Depends if you consider buying huge quantities of powerful pharmaceuticals off a dodgy Croatian like you're buying chocos by the kilo at Coles in the toilets of a poorly tiled cum bucket like a gay bar. Dangerous! Tell you what's dangerous about drugs, it's a danger to my fucking bank balance. Because here's another drug fact. Some dizzy cunt on a pinger won't buy my fucking beer. That's why, in the interest of harm minimisation amongst the community, I can announce that today that I, Grunty McFuckering, proprietor of the Wrongens chain of gay bars and novelty Australiana retailers, will now commence selling drugs on the premises. This will have numerous benefits for the community. One, I'll make a bit of dough. Come on, be a mate. I've got to pay the rent to my numerous toy boys like everyone else. Two, I will be able to remove the gang and criminal element involved in retailing these substances. And three, who are you fucking kidding? They're going to be sugar pills anyway. I've made a career out of watering down legal stimulants to the point where it's not so much a bar as an alcoholic homeopathy buffet. And I don't see any reason why I shouldn't take a similar approach to the illegal stimulants. See you on the dance floor, kids.
Thank you, Grunty.
Thanks, Sonny. You live with your parents?
Yeah, but it's all right. They're gay.
Well, it's time to talk to, I think we're going to have to call him our new best friend.
Oh, yeah. I think he is. Yeah. I think he is.
He was the gayest child in the world, who dressed as Fraulein Maria for his fancy dress party. Thomas Jaspers, how are you, darling?
Oh, hello.
Do you know what I enjoyed recently? Was, Adam, you and Tom zinging each other on Twitter whilst the Sound of Music was on television.
Fox Classics.
Foxtel. Yeah.
Right. It was like being caught.
Exciting life we live.
It was like being caught in the corner of the most boring party conversation in the universe.
Trying to out-gay each other.
I had someone, because I said, you know, my favourite outfit of Maria's is the little bolero jacket and the hat. And she's
oh, yes.
Carrying a guitar singing, I have confidence
in sunshine.
Yes. And it's revolting. And someone quickly pinged me back with, oh, really? I thought that bolero jacket looked so scratchy. Yeah. Which I responded, she's a nun, they're meant to suffer.
Yeah.
I was about to join the Nazi party by the end of that conversation. I was like, this is not what the internet was invented for.
Another thing, can I just point out that I noticed, because it was, you know, when something's on Foxtel, it's on every day for a month. Because it was on again in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, you were saying this. Yeah, go.
Yeah, when, you know, at the end, when Christopher Plummer's singing Edelweiss, or whoever was pretending to be Christopher Plummer singing Edelweiss, which is a very nationalistic moment, and all the Austrians get very, fuck you, Nazis, and the Nazis are all angry and upset. Wasn't Hitler Austrian? He would have loved that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yes.
I don't get why the Nazis are shitty.
I think because, like, he's, like, drawing back to, like, oh, God, this is interesting stuff.
Oh, God.
He's drawing back to, like, the old Austria and, oh, I don't know.
Right. So
I just know I love that bit where they're running around the rotunda. Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah, Toby. Going on 17.
Toby, you're white with one, aren't you? I'm going to go get a coffee.
Yeah.
I'm going to
have a nap.
I'm out of here.
And then she wants to have sex with Rolf, and he turns out to be a Nazi.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I was talking to someone who's gone on the Sound of Music tour around
Vienna.
Salzburg. And apparently that gazebo, they've had to rebuild like four times because it keeps collapsing. Because every cunt that passes wants to have a dance around the fucking
gun. No doubt they're all the same size as me. 140 kilos. Homo bouncing on
them. So they have to build it out of like reinforced concrete.
Yeah. Like the seats of that gazebo are titanium.
Oh dear. Now we've completely gotten off track.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Thomas. No, not your fault, Thomas.
So when we last left you, you were the gayest child in the world, dressing up as Fräulein Maria for your
mum loves that, by the way.
Right.
the whole intensive care ward at Dandenong Hospital listening to it on replay.
Oh God, well we might have hastened along a few deaths then.
I was gonna say, many would say that the ICU is the best place to listen to this show. So you were nine and you dressed as Maria. What happened next?
Okay, around about the same time, I used to do like little displays in my bedroom.
Displays
like visual merchandising?
No, I like to think of it sort of like as bringing the Maya Christmas windows out to the suburbs.
All right.
That's actually where I got the idea from when I was a kid. I went to the Maya Christmas windows and I was like, I can do that shit. Okay.
So you would do it in your window for everyone to see in?
Yeah, and also the whole room would be... this one was the one that I was doing at this point in time was The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
So my friend... oh, God. So
Judy Garland. Next door,
like, and I got on our little bicycles and we rode around all the garage sales. And just my luck, I found this big rainbow flag.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Molly was hitting hard times around that. Needed a garage sale.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was, so I rode home thinking, like, oh, score, I found a fucking rainbow. This is the best in the ceiling.
You were naturally attracted to it.
Yeah, I just thought, fantastic, and brought it home and showed Dad, and he just sort of was like, oh...
I'm worried about the poor really guy who's having the garage sale
and this selling a 9-year-old.
Yeah, like this lovely older man and his little mail order husband. I think they were planning on going back to Thailand or something.
Right.
They just sell off all their stuff.
And I'm just picturing you at nine, mincing up and just going, hi, girlfriend.
Oh, my God, look what I found.
So you didn't know what it was. You didn't know any of the connotations, right? You just took something pretty home.
Yeah,
your little magpie.
As part of a display thing. Anyway, so Dad that night came back and he was like, and I was like setting up my room. He's like, oh, mate, I was wondering, do you reckon I could buy that rainbow flag off you for like $50 for my office?
For his office?
Who said that?
My dad.
Right.
Oh, right. So he was like, this has gone far enough.
Right.
I put up with the Fraggle Rock display. Yeah. I put up with Sesame Street.
Meanwhile, the guys that you bought it off were at home going, quick, ring head office. We got ourselves another one.
He told me that he was going to put it up in his office, and then I found it in the bin, and I was really pissed off.
Oh.
And then I thought he probably got in trouble for having a Wizard of Oz display in his office.
Fair enough.
Oh, that's exactly what it was, in trouble for the Wizard of Oz display.
Did you go through with the Oz display sans flag?
Did I go through with the flag? No, I did do the display. I think I ended up making one.
Right.
out of streamers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very creative as a child.
Out of your rainbow vest.
I love
you had.
Me and Noni Hazelhurst just watch her constantly. Right.
This is a fascinating idea. What other displays did you make?
I always did a Christmas one. This went for a couple of years. I had a Flintstones one once when the Flintstones film came out.
Right.
Right, Flintstones.
Wilma!
You know, just whatever I was into at the time.
See, this puts my Mariah Carey shrine to shame.
Yeah, really, it does. Because he's changed as well. How often would you change them?
Every couple months, I think.
Seasonally.
I didn't have a lot of friends. I had a lot of spare time on my hands.
Right, okay.
Oh,
and a lot of craft skills.
Now, the house is very much to Josh's distaste. Royal. Oh. Everything's royal.
Oh, really?
Oh, are you on a royal kick, are you?
Yeah, I've got a big picture of the Queen above the mantelpiece and driving him nuts. I love it.
Oh, my God.
I've been going for about 3 years, though. Wow. I think I bought about 30 things off eBay of the royal family in the last...
Oh my God. What's your specialty? Like, are you a Princess Anne kind of guy?
Oh, I'm Queen Elizabeth. Hate Diana.
Really?
Controversial.
Gosh. Vile.
Are you modern queen or do you like, you know, 50s young queen?
I love her all. I love it all. I love her and I love the Queen Mum. And I think Prince Philip's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that racist old thing. Yeah. Hilarious.
My favourite royal was Princess Margaret. Always getting shit-faced on Mustique.
She's striking as the Princess Margaret.
She was the naughty.
She was the naughty one.
Yeah, imagine if she was the queen. Oh, my God.
Oh, love.
God. We all would have been in trouble.
Princess Margaret was like the Sarah Jessica Parker of the royal family, wasn't she?
She was more like Samantha.
Yeah. Just settle her up and light her around.
Do you know what? It's even funnier knowing that you're not autistic.
Oh, I think Mum still tells people I am just to sort of...
Just to make yourself feel better.
Soften the blow.
Well, you know, better autistic than gay, love, let's face it.
Oh, that was another Poofcast.
That was it. There it lays.
We keep doing it.
I know.
It's like birthdays, isn't it? Like, you can't stop them, but they keep rolling around.
It's a compulsion.
You don't have to be happy about
it. It's like Rhonda Birchmore's vagina. We all know it's there at the top of her legs, but none of us want to see it.
Can you imagine making a choice to listen to this? Can you imagine?
People do.
People talk about hitting rock bottom, and I've never really appreciated what that means.
No,
can you imagine actively choosing to listen
as
to this?
As we speak right now, there are American operatives giving information to terrorists to make them turn us off. Right?
No, really, when you think about the hideous cock and ball torture that is riding on public transport at 7 o'clock in the morning to go to your job,
yeah,
surely this is better.
Yeah.
It's better than something.
Yes.
And there's more of it probably next week.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Poofcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Poofcast.